Welcome to our podcast, Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Rust Belt by William Owens. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Rust Belt is the most popular grade one piece of music that has been performed last year in the state of Texas. Thank you.
Yep.
This is in the key of B-flat, 4-4 throughout. It's only a minute and a half long. Great note range for all instruments. It doesn't have any split parts. However, there are lots of divisi within parts, so you do have opportunities to divide parts up if you have depth in some of those sections. Lots of percussion in this, and all of the percussion is pretty important, except for the timpani. The timpani, even according to Mr. Owens himself in his program notes, says that if you have to leave something out, timpani can be left out. It is not functional to the actual music. It just enhances it. Other than that, we want all the percussion parts that are there.
So at the very beginning, it says, and I had to look this word up, hard scrabble with an exclamation point, which means involving hard work and struggle. And the piece, if you read the program notes, is based on like a big thriving metropolis and how it's fallen on hard times. So you can kind of use that to help your students with seeing different
this is about grit,
visions of
right?
the piece.
This is about grit and work
determination
ethic.
And coming through the work ethic, yes. It's, like Laura said, it's written very well for bands. All the range is pretty easy. So we start off with a nice, strong, it kind of sounds like a clock to me. I love it. I think it's just written really fun. It sounds like a clock chiming with these little bell tone accents and then timpani and toms leading us into measure three. Flute and oboe have another little like moment in measure two, but we don't want that to be too loud. Then when they're holding their long note going into five, make sure you're really careful about how many students you have on each part. C on flute can tend to be a very out of tune note. We want to make sure we pick the right humans. Lots of vibrato here going into five. You can pump up the clarinet sound to kind of help with that. And then we have another chord coming in at four in response. Make sure that they accent when they come in. The flute and clarinet can come down at four in volume so that you can hear the trumpet, horn, and alto and tenor saxophone entrance there, again, sounding in fifths. At measure five, go ahead.
I love on the percussion part, and Willie Owens does this a lot in his writing. He either will differentiate the percussion part for ability level or write in some things for you. So like here, he says that flams and rolls are optional. So I encourage you to utilize that if necessary. If you've got players like a percussionist that can't play flams well or can't play rolls well can be a huge distraction mm-hmm. to the ensemble. So definitely consider using those options that he makes available to you. I think that's so smart.
Yes. Accents are really important in this piece too, and percussion does help with that a lot on like beat three entrances, or they have accents, so make sure that they play up to that. At five, you get the low brass coming with the melody right away, and it kind of, the percussion is continuing to groove underneath the low brass here at five, so make sure that they come down in a volume level. It's marked for them to be at mezzo forte, but maybe even softer, but then you get to add in like break drum and vibra slap and all these really cool percussion instruments, so make sure that they're heard, but of course not detracting from the overall performance.
It's meant to enhance.
Yes. The low brass, they need to make sure that they're crescendoing through the dotted half note, and then doing the accent on beat one in measure six. One, four, and one, and then that needs to be, one, two, and a full value into measure, into beat three with that vibra slap happening on beat three. Then they're going to have their melody still getting strong, starting strong again, making sure that your G is in tune on measure seven in the trombone section. Then we're going to come down in volume and decrescendo along with percussion into measure nine. We have a ratchet part and it says optional maracas. Oh, it sounds really cool. With ratchet. If you have one or borrow one from a neighboring school, I think that's a really cool just melodic effect there.
Well, it makes it sound like industrial gritty. And working,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep, like work with the break drum, yeah. Then we have the flutes and oboe and clarinet coming in with the one and two, and they're going to be soft on their long note, 3-4-1, and then the 3-4 needs to be brought out a lot in measure 10. And then the horn and the trombone and kind of the mids get to come in too with like a little conversational piece here. Again, doing the what the low brass did before with the accent on beat one and full value on beat two. Again, we have a divisi part in the trombone, euphonium, bassoon section at 11, but that's up to you about how many players you want. If it's my band, I don't have very many kids that can play a G perfectly in tune sometimes. So maybe only have one student in each part on the G and then have everybody else on the D. Or have just
especially
your euphoniums.
Since the tubas are covering that G.
Yeah, maybe have just the euphoniums on the G so you're not mm-hmm. worried about the trombone tuning and have all your trombones on the D. You know, mess around with it. See if it sounds better for your ear. Again, making sure that we can hear the beat three in clarinet, flute, oboe, and then beat
this
four
conversation
in the low
between
brass.
Those yep. two different ideas,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
There are throat tones for days in the clarinet.
Oh my gosh, yes.
In this piece, so it's really important that your students know some type of resonant fingering for those throat tones, whether it's as simple as right hand down. I think it's important to go player to player and come up with the right combination of fingers for each individual kiddo to make sure that they sound as most in tune and with a beautiful sound on those notes. But man, G's and A's for days on
yep.
this. So it needs to be something you spend sectional time on.
At measure 12, you can see that we have a little bit of a different articulation here. So making sure that this lines up for the whole band. Ta, 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 and it leads into 13. So make sure that we're all lining up there. 13 again goes back to the flute and oboe clarinet getting the one and two. But the trumpets now get to come in at 13 with their little moment of the, what I call, again, the clock sound. I don't know why. I think it sounds like a little ding dong, ding dong. So 13, the trumpets get that part with the accents. Saxes are coloring them. And then the flutes and the trumpets are continuing on with the clarinets, the melody going into 17. We're going to crescendo up there. And the low brass get to do this descending line here. Make sure that they are the focal point of the crescendo and leading us into our arrival point at 17.
17, we arrive and it should be big, firm articulation, equal note length on both of those eighth notes,
yep.
Dot, dot. All right, and then the trumpets and upper woodwinds kind of respond to that arrival moment. Then you have this conversation that takes place between the flute, oboe, trumpet, and then clarinet, alto, and horn comes in and echoes them. So again, wanting to make sure that those parts, that you work balancing those parts so that we hear both of them equally well. Again, more opportunities for divisi. And this E and A divided note on trumpet, neither of those notes are great notes
right.
for your trumpet. So just making sure that they sound really good here, but letting your low brass kind of be featured here. 1, 2, and 3, 4. They're kind of leading the end of that phrase going into the start of the next phrase at 21, where altos, again, are now coloring the trumpet part. So we have the melody that is taking place more in flute, oboe, clarinet now, and now it's the answer is kind of the conversation response is coming from trumpet and alto sax. We bring back these accented notes. Here in the percussion part, by the way, is a place where you can see those rolls that are there that you might consider leaving some of those rolls out. Then when we get to measure 23, this accented style, it's going to be really important to make a difference here. We don't want to overdo the accents, but we do need to hear a difference. Da, da, da at the start of all of these notes.
And the bells have the little clock sound coming back at 23. Sorry if that's not what it was meant to sound like, but it's what it sounds like in my head. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the bells get all four of those entrances. So making sure that each, like Laura was saying, each entrance on 1, 2, 3, and 4 is accented like a bell tone.
Exactly.
So you can hear that, especially the beat 4 entrance, since it's just in horn, making sure that that's a strong tongue. And then we're going to decrescendo coming down.
Decrescendo leading into 25. So 25, that was, should be noticeably different. This is like one of the first places where we have like a real major dynamic contrast. And everyone, wind player wise, is on a whole note leading into that at 25. And the percussion are the ones that have the moving parts. So really allowing the percussion every beat to get just a little bit softer to help transition us into this soft section at 25. Just because we're playing soft doesn't mean the firmness of articulation needs to be sacrificed here.
Right.
So still make sure that we are really clearly hearing the start of each one of these notes and not letting the white notes, the dotted half notes that we have here, decay. So this is just going to be soft for a measure, and then we get to start growing and crescendoing again leading into 27.
Yep, and like break drum comes back in, so we're like building up the momentum again going into 27.
Don't let break drum overdo it.
Right,
here.
Right. Then we have again like kind of this big like low brass part, again just really nice and firm, and with the 4 and 1 and just like the beginning. This time though, we get this cool horn and sax counter melody. Again, saxophone should color the horn. It might not look like it's like anything, but it sounds really neat, just right above the lows, and then making sure that they tongue firmly on beats 3 and 4. Going into 29, make sure that that's just a present moment. It's something new and different that you can bring out, and it helps your horns to shine on a really easy part that isn't written, you know, up high for their instrument. Again, keeping everything really tongued firm here. Then on beat 3 and 4 again, we get the upper woodwinds coming back in, making sure that they are not too loud, but they are the new layered in voice. Make sure that they're doing the accents along with percussion on 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1. Make sure that the 1 and 3 momentum continues throughout the whole piece. Then again, we, like I mentioned, we're kind of layering these parts in. The last layer is the trumpet parts, again, coming in on 3, 4, going into 35.
All right, so trumpets again are taking over right here. Then we've got the upper woodwinds kind of keeping more with this little ostinato pattern that's happening underneath it. Really, the conversation is taking place between trumpets and the alto tenor horn part. So that we're, and then of course low brass. We're listening to all of these layers. It
yes.
starts to get pretty thickly textured yeah. here. So you have to prioritize those lines. Figure out what is most important to you, and make sure that the students know what is the major priority. What is second most important, third most important?
And I like trumpet to be really strong here because mm-hmm. that's the new voice and it's something a little bit different here. So just again, as you're teaching layering to your students, maybe for the one of the first times, you teach them like, okay, now we have to listen. A new part's layered in. So you have to come down in volume and don't continue to let them play in a rehearsal if you can't hear that part.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I did recently is I had a student from, like, they weren't listening to me when I was like, I can't hear that layer. So I had like a student from, like, let's just say the trombone section come up, and he stood with me at the front of the room, and I said, okay, everybody play from this rehearsal number to this rehearsal number. And I said afterward, you tell the band, can you hear the such and such part that layered in? And he was like, nope, she's right. You can't hear it. And it was awesome because it was like a kid, you know, affirming that, like, I could not hear that layer part. So why not? Have fun with it. Invite your kids to come up and one at a time. You don't have to do it all the time. But if you're having trouble hearing the layers on a piece, even like this, invite the kids to get involved in the listening and helping with those roles.
And another thing that I'll do is I'll cut it down to one person on a part
mm-hmm.
and just do, and maybe you use first chair players and say, okay, now this is the balance. This is what I want it to sound like. Okay, now we're going to add in one additional player and one additional player. Just so if you start with a really thinned down instrumentation, they can hear that balance a little
Absolutely.
Bit more clearly.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
All right, picking up here at 39 as we kind of are heading into the end. First of all, it's really important for the people that have a rest on beat 1 of 39 that the quarter note before it touches that rest, da, dee, dee, da, da, off. And then they can breathe there. And I often will have my kids mark a breath mark on a rest just to help them remember to do that. We have this accented style taking place in the low brass, which is mirroring what's happening in the percussion. So just have them listen to the percussion and not overplay, not play too loud right here. Now everybody gets the clock theme, yay, as we get here at 41. So making sure that these are very much triangle-shaped notes. We want to hear the front of the note being really firmly articulated, changing notes together right in time before 43, and letting percussion really help be in effect as they crescendo into 43 before the big finish.
And speaking of the clock sound going into 43, so it's written where the low brass does have that part, and then some of the upper parts, like flute, oboe, first trumpet, they don't go down on the last one. So maybe only have one person playing the upper part and let everybody else, so that you can hear it, bum, 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 bum.
You see that in the clarinet as well, yep. In the first trumpet as well. Exactly.
Just so that it finishes the way that it began. And then 43 is just really fun for your low brass, right?
One, two, and three.
But they love to do that. And then you have the conversation with the low brass and then the trumpets and everybody else, the high people. So it's low versus high here. Just really tonguing firmly, making sure everything leads in and you can hear every single beat. And then not letting everybody crescendo too much into the end. Never go past your most beautiful sound is what I say all the time to my students. Percussion gets to kind of crescendo into the ending. And then lots of accent and weight on beat one of the last measure. One, two. And that can be a little bit of a shorter beat too, because it's kind of like a lifted staccato, because it is a housetop accent. So I wouldn't worry about that being full value.
But that will be something you have to work on because everyone has silence on beat three. You're going to want to make sure that aligns really clearly.
Absolutely.
And I would have my percussion dampen everything at the end.
Right.
You can kind of listen to that and make your own decision, but I would have my percussion dampen things at the end.
This is a very well-written piece that we both really love, and I'm sure we'll be able to find it into our band programs recently in the future as well. It's got a musical jump start with it to help your young performing bands.
Anything and by Willie O and Juno is going to be great.
That is 100% accurate. So we hope you will consider this for your next performances.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Band BFFs.